Look at a parable that is known as a grain of mustard seed. Look at verse 31 and 32. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, speaking to his disciples and those who were in attendance, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, during Christ's earthly ministry, it was common to use the expression, a grain of mustard seed. Now, the mustard seed was the tiniest one seed around. And Christ spoke at different times about faith as a grain of mustard seed. Remember, he said if we had faith as a grain of mustard seed, we could move what? Mountains. You know what? Some people believe that you need faith as huge amount to move a mustard seed. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Now, in this passage, Christ speaks about a grain of mustard seed being placed in the earth, and it grows. Now, that mustard seed placed in the earth produced a shrub on normal occasions. But now he's talking about a tree. And so when Jesus is talking about this story, I imagine the people that were listening to what he was saying said, man, that's unnatural. So what does this parable mean? Now, we have a great advantage in understanding the first two parables in Matthew chapter 13 because Christ explained what those two parables meant. Now, we have no better explanation than the explanation that Jesus gives. Yet, when we come to the third parable, there's no explanation. However, the story should be easily understood. Now, the hearers had no difficulty understanding what a man, when a man would take a grain of mustard seed and he would place it in the earth and this shrub-like plant would grow. They had no difficulty understanding that it was the tiniest and the least of all seeds and it would produce a certain kind of shrub. But when Christ said it became a tree, that's where the difficulty came in and they had a hard time understanding. And he said it became a tree so big that the birds of the air could come and lodge in its branches. Now we know that when Christ started his work with his disciples, it was a humble beginning. He called out the 12, did he not? Now we do not praise God for the growth of the we ought to praise God for the growth of the church throughout the centuries because it started off very small, did it not? And then it has grown. Now, that little grain of mustard seed has become what? A tree. And in that tree, there are some birds. And guess what? They're dirty birds. They're dirty birds. Now, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven's glory, and he was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life while he was here on earth. He called the disciples unto himself. They gained his passion for the lost and dying world, and they received power from on high to do his work. He commissioned them to go into all the world and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, the church is responsible, and the church's mission is to go into all the world and be creature reachers. Now, through the centuries, multitudes of people have believed the gospel message and have been saved. Just yesterday, we went forth and four people we saw saved yesterday. The gospel still works. People still want to hear it. Matter of fact, we came across a guy and his wife, been married 64 years. He's 86 years old, never heard the gospel. Been to church, though. Him and his wife got saved yesterday. What a wonderful thing that is. Now, people have been saved. And you know what? The people are part of the church today. And you know, we are to reach people. do our best to reach the world for Christ. Now, there are two different ideas about the interpretation of this parable. The Lord Jesus spoke in the first two parables about the rejection of the message of the gospel. Some people believe he gave this third parable to encourage his disciples to keep on going and keep telling the story until the whole world is filled with the message of Christ. They say the gospel is going to be received to the extent that Christianity becomes a great tree and birds, supposedly good birds, will come and lodge in the tree and people will find refuge in the Lord. Now that seems like a good idea, doesn't it? But there's another interpretation. And that true interpretation is that the tree represents all genuine Christianity. But what people might call Christian isn't always Christian, is it? Because it doesn't line up with biblical Christianity. Now, this tiny grain of mustard seed grows and becomes a huge tree. And then the birds come and lodge in that tree. And in this tree, this great tree under the banner of Christendom, evil and unbelief actually begin to lodge. Now, that isn't difficult to interpret today, is it? Now, I do not think that you have to guess which interpretation of this parable is correct. You know, evil men and seducers are waxing what? Worse and worse. We live in a world that is basically rejecting Christ. We are not able to win the world to the Lord, even though it is our responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You see, we cannot control the will of man. Listen, we're living in a very deceitful period of time. You know, you could probably name a long list of preachers, so-called preachers, none of whom line up with the scriptures. You know, if you listen to any of these TV evangelists, they all come short, don't they? Most of them are just blatant, outright heretics. They're not preaching the gospel. They're not preaching the Bible. They're out there just trying to fleece as many people as they possibly can. And you know what? If every God-called preacher here in town would stay behind the pulpit, we'd be better off. But you know how many are not God-called and they're behind pulpits here in our own city and they're not preaching the truth? The vast majority of these churches aren't. Dirty birds! Just the other day, going to Walmart, this guy says, "Sir, sir." And I'm like, who's sir around here anyways? And finally I look around, there's this guy in the car, and he says, "Yeah, sir." And he said, "Let me ask you." He says, "Would you like to know about Jesus?" I said, "I already know him as my Savior." And he says, "Well, how would you like your faith to grow?" I said, "I already know how my faith is going to grow. It's going to grow because I read the Word of God." And he says, "Well, there's other means." I said, "Really?" I said, "That's not what the Bible teaches. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God." And he says, "Well," he said, "could I talk to you?" I said, "You know what? Listen." I said, "You don't believe the same Jesus I do." I said, "You believe he's the brother of Lucifer. I believe he's God manifest in the flesh." He says, "Yeah, you got that right." Now, that's one of the fastest growing religions. That you say, what religion is that? Mormons, Latter-day Saints. You know, sure, we're in the latter day, but they ain't saints. Now, I remember when I lived in Iowa, they used to have a big gathering there over at, I forgot, it started with an N, but that was where Joseph Smith, you know, he's got his little commune over there, and he was martyred not too far, they say martyred, he broke out of jail, and stole the policeman's gun and started shooting at people, and then he got shot, but that's martyrdom, I guess, to them. But anyways, They would stand around, the Mormons. There would be a bunch of Christian people there, and the Mormons would say, "We are Christians, we are Christians." And the people that were born again would say, "No, you're not, no, you're not." But they're trying to make themselves look like they're believers. Matter of fact, they use the same language that we use, but the definition of their words are totally different. You got Jehovah's Witnesses, don't you? Don't they? They deny the deity of Jesus Christ as well. And you know what? They'll say that they are what? Christian. What about Roman Catholics? Ah, now we're getting down there. Now they say they're what? And matter of fact, the world looks upon them as the example of Christianity, and they're far removed from it. They trace their history all the way back to Nimrod and the Tower of Babel. Where they came from. That's where they worship mother and child. And that's why they're trying to make Mary deity right now. What about some of these other churches? These progressive churches. We got them in town. What is that, Metropolitan Church over there on A Street? Is that a sodomite church? Now, is that compatible with Christianity? Not at all. What about some of this contemporary hodgepodge going on? It's crazy what goes on in the church, and they want to call it Christian, and it's not Christian at all. You know, there's a church up on the north side of North Union, and every time I drive by there, I see their stupid sign. I'm forced to look at it just so I can get aggravated. And it drives me nuts. I'd love to see that thing just, God just strike it down and just crumble. You know which one I'm talking about? Yeah, it's horrible what they put on there. And the last sign was, you know, love your immigrant neighbor as yourself. But, you know, and I'm like, you know what? Shut up. They're talking about illegal immigrant. You know, not your, you know, people here who got their citizenship the right way. You know, these lawbreakers, they need to be moved out of our country. They don't need to be here anymore. You know, I can't just pop myself across the border in Mexico and say, "Hey, guys, take care of me." They say, "Okay, we'll take care of you. You're going to prison." It's crazy, isn't it? But that church up there, they have all kinds of defund police and all kinds of, there was one that says, love your, you know, transgender neighbor. That, you know, now, you know, it's just love everybody. You know, yeah, okay, I'm all for loving everybody, but I ain't tolerating their sin. I don't have to agree with it. And that's not what they're talking about, love. And if you really love them people, you'd try to reach them for Christ. We got all kinds of horrible, horrible churches that are, you know, I read about a church that was a Presbyterian church, and they've gone berserkers too. And anyways, this atheist went to one of the services, and they were talking about organic vegetables. That was what the sermon was about, and how you should not genetically alter your food. And he thought, man, this is great. And I'm thinking, this is bizarre. But this stuff is going on in churches all over. What about the United Methodist Church? Is that any good? No, they departed from the faith long time ago. Presbyterian USA. All kinds of major denominations have departed from Christianity, and they should have no viability amongst God's believing people. They don't even get the gospel right. How many churches do you know here in this city where they have a work salvation? Time and time again, the vast majority of them do. It's nuts. We're living in a deceitful period of time. Now, the situation has become so serious that some people who call themselves fundamental Bible-believing Christians don't even want to hear that. They get all mad when the preacher gets up and says stuff like I just said. I don't want to hear that. Well, why don't you want to hear that? Isn't the preacher called to sit there and warn you of different things that's going on that you're not supposed to partake in? You know, do we really need to be deluded? You know, you go out there and you ask the average person on the street, are you a Christian? You know, the vast majority are going to say, yeah, aren't they? Crazy, isn't it? But they didn't have no idea how to get to heaven. They're not born again. They're not sitting in Bible-believing churches. People don't want to hear it anymore. They'd rather be entertained. They have tickling ears, and they want them scratched. You say, well, don't those people, those preachers have good intentions? No, they don't. They're evil men. Yes, they don't have good intentions. They seek to pervert the truth. They don't want to go behind a pulpit and preach the Word of God. They are not interested in doing that. They change the truth of God into a lie. And you know what? God's men and God's people need to sound the alarm. Our Lord was preparing His disciples with these parables. This plant became a harboring place for all kinds of evil and non-Christian people who still call themselves Christian. How many remember years ago, it's still going on, but how many, the scandal in the Catholic Church with all these priests doing stuff to young boys? Yeah. Why in the world do they get any credence anymore at all? What a terrible thing. That thing should have collapsed. And yet people still want to give them respect. You know, the Pope isn't the vicar of Christ. He's the vicar of hell. The Catholic Church is called the great whore in the book of Revelation. All you have to do is read about it. And all these denominations, these major denominations, they all came out of there. And that's why she's the great whore and their little whorelets are all over the place. He said, I don't. It's true. Hey, they're the enemy of Christianity. Don't get the idea you're the only person who's right. I never get that idea. You know, there's a lot of other people out there just like us. You say, there's other nuts out there? Yeah, they're just like us. But you know what? We get this idea that we're supposed to come along and get along with everybody. Now, you know, I'm not saying you can't be nice. I think you should be nice. I think you should be kind. But I also think you need to take a stand for Jesus Christ and not compromise. And you know what? We don't need to be intimidated by the critics. Why do I care what you think? Why do I care? I don't. I do care, however, what God thinks. You know, nor am I going to be cowardly. I remember sitting around in the neighborhood. There was a neighborhood function, and this Focus on the Family guy was there. And he was talking about how one of his co-workers had joined the Catholic Church because he was tired of all the popes in these evangelical churches. Well, for one, you shouldn't have been an evangelical to begin with. But anyways, and he thought it was so great. And I'm sitting there listening, and I said, so he decided that he's going to be a member of the great whore right in front of the rest of the neighborhood. I said, and you think that's a good idea? I said, what planet did you come from? See, I know how to make friends and influence people. But I'm thinking, this is a bunch of nonsense. And this guy wrote a letter criticizing all these gospel preaching churches. And I'm thinking to myself, and you're thinking this is a good idea? You know, when I said that, you know, boy, you should have seen people's head pop up. Ears were attuned. And I'm like, don't be spewing your garbage around me because I ain't putting up with it. You know, and he still doesn't talk to me today. I don't see much of him, but, you know, it's crazy, isn't it? And you're thinking this is a good idea. Listen, there's a lot of deceit in this world, and you know what? We don't need to be partaking in it. You know, many people call themselves Christian, don't believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in a Trinity. They don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. They don't believe a lot what the Bible says. And yet they want to call themselves what? Christian. Have you ever met a sodomite or a transgender claim to be a Christian? Really? They say they are. Now that's nuts, ain't it? Or how about, you know, two people living together, fornicating? I'm a Christian. Well, you may be a believer, but you're not a Christian. Because a Christian lives a Christ-like life. And you're not doing it. You know, we need to know how to live and function in a world that is in so much confusion. You know, I never thought when I was a little fella that I'd ever grow up to be living in a time when people can't even figure out what's a male and a female. I never thought that this would, that thought never even crossed my mind. And yet we got people who seem to be so-called educated, people behind pulpits that saying it's a good thing. Listen, you ever go to a Christian bookstore? You've been there. You ever see some of the garbage on the shelves? I remember walking through one and Connie had to drag me out. I was so mad. But I went in there, and they had a T-shirt there. And I've ran across a preacher that preached this sermon, too. But it said, Jesus, a rebel with a cause. Man, I was irate. I'm so glad I didn't have a can of gas and a lighter at that moment. Because I would have burned the place down. I was so mad. And I started yelling, Jesus was no rebel! You know, and I'm God's like, John, come on, let's go. And I'm like, no, he was not a rebel. He always did that which pleased the Father. That just drives me bonkers. You say, preacher, you need to get a hold of yourself. I try, but that's why I got a wife. She helps me out. When I'm out on my own, it's dangerous out there. But what's going on? Here's some of the stuff. How to become a better you. Right? Self-esteem. You know, this stuff is flooding Christian bookstores. Is that biblical? Not at all. You got stuff on all kinds of nonsense in a Christian store and people think it's good. Because they put Christian on there. Now, who do you think's the real enemy behind it? The devil is. But you know what? These sweet, kind guys, they get up and say, oh, you know, don't worry. You know, you're okay. God loves you. You know, you just got to work on your self-esteem. Sure. You know, they even badmouthed the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They call it a slaughterhouse religion. I remember listening to this one Southern gospel group, and they said they would go to some churches, and the pastor would come out and say, "Listen, don't you sing about the blood. We're more refined than that here." I remember having a friend of mine, he went to a church, so-called fundamental church, and in his sermon, he mentioned hell. After his sermon was over, the preacher got up and said, "I want to apologize for the bad language of our visiting preacher this morning." See, I ought to tore into him. Are those guys really your friends? Are those guys really men of God? They have no business being behind a pulpit. They're charlatan. They're religious huskers. Hustlers, I should say. I'll tell you who's a real friend. It's a guy who tells you the truth. Amen. You say, "Well, I don't like it." Well, you know what? He's telling you the truth. Would you rather be deceived by a lie? Let's say you're going on a hike in the woods, right? And you got a friend along. And you're up there, and all of a sudden he sees this rattler right by your foot. But he doesn't want to offend you and startle you. And so he doesn't say anything about it. And guess what happens? You get bit. Now, you're out in the middle of nowhere, so you really can't get any help. But he's your friend, isn't he? Or would you rather have him sound an alarm to help you out? Listen, you know, we need to make sure that we ourselves are born again. The Bible says we ought to examine what? Ourselves. Whether we be in the faith. And so this morning you need to figure out, have you been born again? Is your name penned down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you been redeemed? Are you a child of God or a child of the devil? There's no in between. It's not like, "Well, I don't know if I'm married or not." You ought to figure that out, right? Listen, you need to make sure you're born again. You are a sinner. Christ is the Savior. He died, buried, and rose again. And simple faith in that sacrifice will redeem you and keep you out of hell. There's so much of the world in the church that one cannot tell the difference between the church and the world. I mean, you go in there and it's like, man, what's going on here? You know, just recently I heard of a fundamental Baptist church where they have smoke machines, you know, and it's like a cloud that fills up the pulpit area, and then the pastor comes out. Yeah, pretty impressive, ain't it? Not favorably, but this stuff is going on. You know, little light shows, and it's all staged. Terrible, isn't it? How about some of the music that goes on? Yeah. I mean, some of them, you look up there and they're like a cheap imitation rock band. Some are even like a metal hair band out of the 80s with their long hair. Get out of here. How many think this would be Paul would appreciate such things? How many think maybe Jesus would appreciate such things? We think, you know what, we got liberty in Christ to do whatever we want. No, we don't. Things are supposed to be done decently in order and all due to the honor and glory of our Savior. The music. And once the music goes, the preaching goes. They go hand in hand. We need to know the Word of God. That is the root problem in churches today. Most people don't know what the Bible says. I always get a... I just start laughing when people tell me what's in the Bible. I'm like, what? I never heard that before. I do ask. Well, no. I said, you know why? They said, why? I said, because it's not in there. How about that? But you know what people believe are not, it's not scriptural. And so we need, first of all, we need a Bible. You know, when you got 200-300 versions of the English Bible, they're not the same, by the way. And we need one source that's the Word of God, and I believe we have that in the King James Bible. And if you don't have a King James Bible, you don't have a Bible. Okay? I'm just going to let you know. And so you need to have one. That's good, isn't it? There you go. It doesn't do any good if you don't know it. And you know what doesn't do you a whole lot of good? If you're going to sit there and be indoctrinated at a church that doesn't preach the truth and rightly divide it, you'll start falling prey to that stuff. You know, when you hear a lie over and over again, even a bigger lie, it becomes what? The truth to you. But we need to, what? Know the Bible. We need to get in it. We need to study it. We need to live it. We need to believe it above the word of men. Don't ever talk to somebody and say, well, what do you think this verse says? And you go, well, my preacher's... Don't ever do that. Because it doesn't matter what I say about it. It's what does God say. And that's where we need to come to. I remember being at a picnic one time, and I'm talking to a preacher friend of mine, and anyways, there's a younger guy sitting across the table from us, and we're discussing something, and he kept going, well, preacher so-and-so says, preacher so-and-so says. He said it about four times, and you know, that's just like taking a needle and putting it under my fingernail. Yeah, that's how painful that is to me. And I said, huh. I said, you know what that preacher said is right, but not once have I ever heard you say what God says. I said, sounds to me like you don't know your Bible, but you sure do know that preacher. Amen? We don't need to know what the preacher said. We need to know what God says. We need to get into the Bible for ourselves. Are we not supposed to read it on a daily basis? We are. Is this book the most important book that we have? Isn't it a great treasure? And yes, we what? Some of us ignore it. You know, don't ever come to the church and look at the preacher like he's some cow that you get milk from. You know, churn your own milk. Churn your own milk. Get your own milk. It sure tastes better, don't it? Yeah. You know, like my sermons, I get all kinds of milk from different places, but I like churning my own butter. But you know what? Some people come to church and they're all hungry. And it's like they look at the preacher as a cow, one big udder. Feed me, preacher. Feed yourself. You're old enough. If you can read, you're old enough to feed yourself. We need to know our Bibles. You know, if we know our Bibles better, we wouldn't be caught up in this stuff. You know, it always amazes me, these large churches. And I'm like, don't you listen to what the guy's saying? Don't you know your Bible? Don't you know he's wrong? Well, no, they don't, because they don't know the Word of God. Why do you think they become so popular? If people knew their Bible, they'd throw the bum out. Crazy, isn't it? You know where we get discernment from? We get it from the Scriptures. I'll never forget when I was in Bible college, we had this guy come in, and he preached during chapel. And that was mandatory. We all be there. There'd be hundreds of us there. And most of these were supposed to be going into the ministry, right? That's who, it was a basically a preacher's college. And so he gets up there and he preaches heresy. And I'm sitting there going, oh, now I've heard of this, but I never heard anybody speak, you know, preach a sermon on it. And my jaw is just like, I couldn't believe it. And then when he got done, we had an amen section. And they were a little bit, not all there. They were the touched ones, you know. But they were just a different breed. But anyways, when he got done, one of them said, "That's heresy!" And I said, well, at least he was paying attention. But they gave an invitation. 300 to 400 of these preacher boys went forward to get right with the Lord. And I'm like, what a bunch of knuckleheads. You see, they didn't know their Bibles either. You say, oh, come on, they went to Bible college, didn't they? Yeah. And you know, I taught at a Bible college. And it was a small class, but there was probably about 8-10 students in there. Now listen to this. 6 or 7 of them were called to preach. And I asked, how many of you have read your Bible through one time? Raise your hand. No one. No one. And then I said, you plan on going into the ministry? And you don't even read your Bibles? I said, God help the people that you're going to minister to. Sad, isn't it? Now, these kids, I knew them. They all grew up in church. They were there since the nursery. But you know what? I've heard some of the things that come out of that church and some of the visiting preachers, what they said. And I hear them people buying into it. Now, how does that work? It's because they don't know the Scriptures. Two of the deacons' wives were arguing one day, or not arguing, they were discussing that the New Jerusalem, now that's the city that lieth what? Four square. That's what the Bible teaches, right? But some preacher came in and said it's going to be shaped like the Star of David. So they were trying to figure all this out. And I'm thinking, what are you, daft? Are you stupid? Now, they didn't ask me, otherwise, you know, I'd have made more friends. Yes. Now, is that crazy or what? I mean, but they, and then I heard of one preacher come in there and he talked about, you know, tithing, that you, a believer doesn't need to tithe for the first 3 years because like a fruit tree, you know, that those first 3 years you don't eat anything off the tree. And then on the fourth year, then you tithe. And I'm like, huh? We're not talking about fruits here. Yeah. And I'm thinking, good night, I could have saved myself a ton of money in those first 3 years. I should ask for a refund. I'm like, but people buying into this stuff. And I'm thinking, what are you, nuts? But you see, here's the thing. Where are they putting their faith? They're not putting it in the Word of God. And where does faith come from? Faith cometh from hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Folks, we better know the Bible so we can line up these preachers and their doctrine with the Scriptures. And if they are not lined up, they are wrong. Don't ever say, well, he's a doctor. Ooh. I sat at a breakfast one time. Three doctors, and I'm just a regular schmo pastor. And they're all discussing something, right? And I'm just eating, and I'm thinking, oh, no, you know. But the food was good, so I just kept eating. I didn't want to get involved in the discussion. And then someone, one of them, turns to me, the head doctor. So what do you think, Brother Rainey? I said, well, the Bible says. And I just went back to eating, and he goes, he's right. But I'm not a doctor. What do I know? But I know enough of the scripture to know what's right and what's wrong. Every one of us ought to be like that. All right, we'll have some more in just a few minutes.